So, fourth part of the series, love, peace and honour have gone before us. And we're in the fourth part of the series, energy, okay? Now then, if I was to give an example of an energetic kind of person, who would spring to mind? Now there's an example for you, Bear Grylls. I'll give you a few examples of people I think are energetic. Jonathan Pierce, anyone know him? Jonathan Pierce, yes, commentator, football. He really gets into it, how he describes a football match. He loves it. Bruno Tonioli. You are. Strictly Come Dancing. Any fans here? Yeah, good. I got some. I quite like that, but I do prefer You Being Framed. I'd rather watch people falling over dancing than Strictly, but I do like it as well. Gary Barlow, X Factor. I don't know how exciting he is amongst his X Factor when he's judging, but I don't really watch it that much. Boris Johnson, there's another chap. Right, people who are energetic and enthusiastic about what they're doing, what their life calling is, it oozes out to them effort, passion, energy. You know, they're well into what they are doing. But we see it as an enthusiastic outside, don't we? Because obviously they're on telly and they're on the radio and all the rest of it. But what I would like to ask is, you know, what is it like on the inside? A question I'd say is, you know, are you also this enthusiastic on the inside, or when the cameras aren't on, or you're in the house, or, you know, these guys, you know, I wonder if it, you know, oozes out to them in the home as well. They're so dedicated and energetic about what they love doing in life. So is that enthusiasm always there, or are there dips? Is there energy and fervor, you know, is it just for what we see on the outside, or is their DNA really full of what they're all about, okay? Now, Tim mentioned earlier Felix, the guy who dived out of the balloon and free fell for miles and miles and miles. Preparation, 7 years, a huge team, finances. When he was interviewed, there was two things that he wanted to achieve at this. One was to provide valuable scientific data to contribute to establishing safety procedures and all the scientific kind of stuff. And also to be the first man to jump from that kind of altitude and break the sound barrier in free fall. Amazing things, eh? And of course, this guy has got, I don't know what his nerves are like, but they, you know, must be ice cool in fairness. Talking about ice cool, the air pressure at that stage, where he is in that altitude, if there was a little split in his suit, his blood would boil instantly. Nice little tip for you. Don't go there. 24 miles up, okay, minus 55 degrees. Amazing. Now, when he was interviewed, not long afterwards, he said this, okay, this little quote. When I was standing there on top of the world, so humble, you were not thinking about breaking records. I was thinking about coming back alive. You do not want to die in front of your parents and all these people. I thought, please, God, don't let me down. Well, he was going down, a long way down. But to summarise, just in those few sentences, he's got, as he's jumping out there, he's got the world before him, the world at his feet. And he's there looking, and the things that are going through his mind is, I don't want to die. My friends and my family mean so much to me. You know, I don't want to see a disaster happen. And his total reliance, and actually, his life is really out of his hands a little bit here. He is asking God, you know, don't let me down, God. And I think if we can sort of understand a bit of what Felix was going through in our lives, you know, we've got our lives and our futures ahead of us. We love our families and our friends. But there's a reliance in God, okay? And what this guy has in terms of energy and enthusiasm and a dedication to do that particular stunt and experience, it, when you boil it all down, it's people and it's God. Yeah? So it's a great way, I think, of starting out this morning, sort of talk, really. So when someone's committed to achieving something with their life, of putting their lives to good use, where does that commitment come from? How is it attained and how is it refreshed moving forward? Okay, so moving on a little bit, here is the verse for the day, all right? And it's from Romans 12:11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Whenever I see this verse, what springs to mind to me is a little advert which was on a few years ago advertising the Renault Clio. And it said, do you have the va-va-voom? All right? Thierry Henry, footballer, bit of French. And those words, all right? Sorry, bear with me now, bear with me. All right? Va-va-voom. Right, Renault Clio advert. It talks about being excited, invigorated and lively. Okay, and that's how they were trying to sell a car, okay, and they made it look and package it as if, you know, it was a sexy thing to do, to buy a Renault Clio, as if you would, like that. But anyway, the whole package, when I read this, you know, version, you may think I'm a bit strange, but when I read that, I think, you know, where is my spiritual vavavoom before God, you know? Where is my passion and my enthusiasm about God and about people? It's keeping our spirituality is a big thing, how we relate and align ourselves to God and his love. And out of that, how does it overflow into our life and into our relationships and into our friendships? Because I don't know about you, you know, my common language isn't zeal. It's not a word I use a lot. How zealous are you feeling today, Rob? Are you feeling very zealous? You're a zealot, you are. You're very zealous. Well done. How was your spiritual fervor today, Julian? Are you feeling spiritually fervorous? Is that such a word? You know, it's not the words we use. It's not our day-to-day language. So I'm trying to break it down into, you know, to have energy in our loving God. You know, what is our enthusiasm like before God? Because as we know, the group of verses that we're looking at in Romans, it deals with love in action. So love in action, get our heads around that. What does it mean to have love in action? And this particular part, energy, spiritual fervor, and zeal. We've unpacked how to love authentically, to be peacemakers and peace lovers. And Jez did a great job of unpacking and grappling with the whole concept of honor last week. How we can prefer one another and honor one another through our words, through our actions, and through our attitude. So we've done a bit of that, and today we're looking at energy. So if I was to summarize this word in my own words, for example, I'd say this. In our loving and relating to one another and to God, consistently show energy and enthusiasm in serving God, keeping up our spiritual temperature in a healthy manner. So I'm not saying that we're always doing cartwheels about the place and, you know, doing flip-flops or flip-flaps, whatever they're called. Because that's health and safety, and it's not very good, all right? But let's have that spiritual, you know, action about us and energy about us. And you're probably thinking, oh, that sounds a bit, you know, hard going. I just want to unpack things a little bit more and practicalize some stuff for us, okay? So Tim mentioned earlier about zeal. What does zeal actually mean? Great energy and enthusiasm in pursuit of a cause or an objective. You know, what is our cause here today? You know, what do we stand for in life? What are the things that God is asking us to be energetic about and to be enthused about? What are they? Ask God now, you know, God, what are the things you want me to be enthusiastic and full of energy for? Is it for loving one another? Is it for serving in a particular way? Fervor, what does that mean? Fervor, again, excitement, intensity of belief, passionate, va-va-voom, you know what I mean? It's like getting, you know, passionate about what God wants to do in our lives. So the scripture here is sort of aligning us and telling us, you know, maintain our passion in serving God. Recognize and excite our spiritual existence while serving God. So when, you know, we define things, it's that what is to be zealous and to be full of spiritual fervor. You know, that's what it all boils down to in serving God and serving people. So if that's what being zealous is and what being enthusiastic is and what energy is, what does it look like when we're lacking in zeal? When we're lacking in zeal, when we haven't got energy, when we're not enthusiastic, when there is no spark, when we're feeling distant or not non-committal or alone or withdrawn, you know, how does that feel? What is it if our life has just become our own sort of little bubble in which we're having, you know, big struggles, perhaps negative or lonely about many things? I'm going to unpack a few little sort of items there which can cause that in our life, okay? So what can actually rob us of energy for God and for people? Okay, well, just these aren't, you know, everything. These are just some little items which perhaps we can agree on here. Maybe it's just as simple as we're struggling to connect with God. Simple as that. The communication channels aren't what they could be. And, you know, with God, we're struggling a little bit. I just want to say, you know, today, God is here. You know, just a whisper away, a word away. He knows our hearts. And when we're feeling like that, you know, sometimes our feelings can rob us of our life's experience. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, maybe it's just a point where we're struggling our communication with God. Disappointments, when our hopes get dashed, when our dreams fail, our enthusiasm drains out of us and we feel not empowered to do anything about it. And that robs us of something. Discouragement, when we feel a sense of hurt, something has gone before us and has hurt us. Something has happened and it's changed our heart a little bit. Gone against what we believe in or what we want to see happen. And that robs us of energy because we can't physically change it. Discouragement. Doubt. We doubt God. We doubt ourselves. We doubt others. And sometimes we get ruled by fear then because, you know, oh, can I trust God? Can I trust people? Can I trust so-and-so? And, you know, you can see, you know, the enemy at work really because it's robbing us of life, of love, of our knowledge of God. And let's be aware of these things which rob us of our energy for God. Or perhaps duty. You know, what is the point? Am I doing this? I'm not attached emotionally. I'm just going through the motions here. You know, I don't feel anything. I don't care. I'm just doing this out of duty. And these are little items where, you know, it robs us out of our sort of true place in God. You know, God loves us. He cares for us. He forgives us, brings us into peace. And I think these are challenges that we live with day to day. These are challenges, very true and very real things which come upon us. So how then can we sort of move on from that and come up with a strategy of getting over these kinds of areas, these disappointments and discouragements in life? So let's take a couple of examples here, which I'm just going to go through, okay? We're going to go through some little examples of how we can strengthen ourselves before God and help energize ourselves as well. So first of all, number one is this, recognize our calling and recognize opposition. It's a challenge to keep our zeal intact sometimes, but it is possible. God knows our humanness. He knows the score with us. He knows the challenges that we face. So, you know, what are the methods of us getting over that and getting through those times? Well, serving Jesus, as a lot of us will know here, usually means opposition and days of discouragement. Does anyone recognize days of discouragement here? I certainly do myself, okay? Whenever we do action, whenever we're doing something, we're being active, there's often something that comes against us and we ask God to help us to push through these times, to give us motivation, to help us be encouraged, because we know really all about God's love. And that, you know, we know this is bigger than what we can get discouraged in. So recognizing our calling in God is very important. And one scripture that, you know, is a helpful one, I think, is this. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. You know, it's a daily thing to actually recognize God and to seek his kingdom first. And if I can encourage us today, is every day, every morning when we wake up, you know, let's seek God. Let's seek God for our lives. And we'll find how God's love and God's acceptance and God's drive in our lives can help us actually get through moments and times of discouragement, despair, tough times, opposition, and, you know, we'll find ourselves moving forward and taking things step by step. So we can be seekers, lookers of the kingdom, if you want, with our spiritual eyes open and not shut. And we have a privilege of being kingdom people. You know, it's a great privilege, isn't it, to know God and to know God's love for our lives. It's a great privilege. So we can be sort of like on the lookout, be reflectors of God. And recognizing what is spiritual and godly is an important thing in our lives. Of understanding, you know, what God has called us to. Understanding, you know, the things that emphasize love in our lives. Of recognizing those times. Of recognizing when a family member needs some time, some reassurance, some care. Sometimes when we know a friend is in need or in doubt, you know, these are times where we can seek the kingdom of God and ask God to help us, you know, to be givers and outworkers of his love and his acceptance in life and, you know, sharing that with other people, being kingdom seekers. So what about recognizing opposition then? There's a little verse here in Mark, okay, says this, salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with each other. Now, the disciples were God's salt, saltiness in the world which they were living in. And it's similar for us today. You know, God's saltiness within us. You know, what happens if we lose our saltiness? Well, today we have, like, our processes, we have purified salt, which keeps and keeps and keeps and keeps. But back in the day, the salt there included impurities, and that salt could go off. That salt could actually, you know, be no good and be thrown out and trampled upon. And it was used here to say, you know, to keep our spirituality alive, to keep our Christian character in track before God. And where we find difficulties or where we've had blips or where there's, you know, we recognize that there's something we need to get through here before God. Let's be encouraged, you know, to ask God, you know, help us, Lord, to get through this time. to help us to make wise decisions and wise choices in how we live our lives. Help us to speak well of people. Help us to be on track and really sharpened up before God. Because none of us here want to lose our saltiness, do we? We all want to be salty. After a big game of football, I go home, I think, if I touch my skin, it gets there, it is salt like pouring out and it's like not good. But another thing is, we're supposed to have salt within us. And the saltiness of God, I believe, is very important. It is very important. So let's just, honour God before that by remaining salty before him. Now, I don't know what that means to you, but, I just want to encourage you to go for that. Now, just going on at the moment, I've had a few volunteers just cutting some oranges at the back. And I'm hoping that those oranges are zesty. And you're feeling a little, you probably won't feel it down here on the wit here, but I'm hoping that those juices are sort of filling the room and that you can smell the oranges in the air, okay? Hopefully no one's allergic to oranges here. All right? But going back a few days ago, we'd been talking about oranges and how we should cut oranges and should they be cut into chunks or should they be segmented, all right, when you eat an orange. And it was funny how we're thinking, what happens when an orange goes past its best? And the day I went home, that night, I found, you won't believe this, a plate, right, of oranges, cut up, dry, and full of green, blue mould. Right, I can't remember where it was. It's just in my mind's eye now. I can remember thinking, first of all, thinking, what on earth is this doing here? Someone chucked it in the bin. And then I thought, hang on now, oranges are supposed to be meant to be zesty and full of vitamin C and nice and give a nice smell out and all that. I thought, it's a little bit like us as people, isn't it? We're created to give out the essence of God, the love of God, the vitality and energy of God, the forgiveness of God, the love of God, the passion of God. And that's what we're meant to be today, is a juicy orange. Look at the person next to you. No, it's a joke. I was going to say, you're a juicy orange, but I don't think that'll go down too well. And I'll free you from that. But if we can be juicy oranges here today, that is great. Now, I haven't bought them for you to eat them or anything like that. It was just to be a smell, but feel free later. If you do want to have a little chomp, go and do it outside, because I'm not picking up your peel after you, all right? So by recognising our call before God and recognising opposition, I believe that arms us with a way of being in tune before God, all right, and allowing us to strengthen us to get through difficult times. The next one, remember, who's got a good memory here? Anyone got a really good memory here? No, yeah, I can't remember, nobody. Okay, I remember just a few days ago, walking down the corridor, taking Jez a cup of tea, making him a nice cup of tea, looking good. I left the kitchen with a pint of milk in my hand, and I was halfway down the corridor realising I got a pint of milk in my hand and not the cup of tea. Not a good memory. That milk was supposed to go in the fridge. But obviously, sometimes when you're not focused and you're not there and your mind's elsewhere, you just do things, don't you, which shouldn't be done. But using different strategies to remember is very important. Maybe we take a picture, we fill out a note, we have a handheld device. There's other ways of memorising things. I like to put a little cross on my hand. Well, actually, I had to go from being a cross, because I can never remember what the cross is for. I have to write full words and sentences now. If someone catches you, can you remember this? Yeah, hang on. And the next minute, your hand's covered in ink. But I know a good friend of mine, who his way of memorizing things has tattooed initials on his arm. All right? Now, that is commitment to remembering. Now, I'm not advising it, because one, it hurts, and two, you will run out of skin eventually. All right, but remembering things are very important. So, what do we remember? What am I trying to get at? Luke 22:19 says this, and he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. As God is the creator of us, he knows how we tick and how we talk, the good times, the bad times. And Jesus, of course, in that intimate time with the friends that he loved, he took them in. He said, this is my body broken for you. Remember this, remember this. Remembering Jesus is a great strategy for helping us through moments, through times of difficulty, or settling ourselves. Communion, of course, is one thing, but we can remember God in other ways as well, in our prayer lives. if we're sky gazers or reservoir walkers or beach loungers, find the times and the places where we connect with our Creator, where we remember Jesus. Remember, remember, remember. Great way of helping us through difficult times, of recognizing what it is to be spiritually full of God, full of fervor, because this helps us. Jesus is love and sacrifice. If we just to take a moment now and just recall, you know, our lives gone by, and the ups and the downs and the difficulties, but there's a faithfulness of God, isn't there? There's a love of God which doesn't let us down. And that is something that we can remember all the time. It's part of church life. It's part of church life. So what else do we remember to do? Well, we remember through this verse something else. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Remember to meet together. Brilliant. Meetings. Fabulous. But it's more to just meetings, isn't it? The whole way we connect with people relationally. There is nothing better than meeting together. Worship tonight is a way of meeting together. Being here this morning is a way of meeting together. Having someone around for a cup of tea is a way of meeting together. Going to visit someone is a way of meeting together. Having a coffee, having a curry, and the things that we love to do. Having a game of football is a great way of kicking each other. But it's meeting together, and there's the physicality and the love, and the, you know, blokes like to, you know, bosh each other and kick the ball about and all the rest of it. But, you know, the physicality of meeting together, the eye-to-eye contact, you know, the pat on the back, the how's it going, the punch in the arm. You know, these are ways of loving one another and reminding ourselves to meet together, okay? Great ways of doing it. Okay, so, you know, social networking is a great tool, isn't it? But it's not the same, is it, as having a chat with someone in real life, like? Do you know what I mean? On my Facebook, I've got hundreds and hundreds of friends, but I haven't really got any friends. It's a joke. I got two. My mother and my father. Meeting together is so important, okay? The physicality of it, the communication, and the eye-to-eye contact is very important. You know, be for each other, okay? So where the four D's have taken their toll on us, discouragement, despair, duty, and all the rest of it, you know, we can replenish ourselves and our relationships through remembering Jesus, remembering to meet together. Okay, and finally, we can't serve God and money, the scriptures say, isn't it? Okay, now then, if I was just to boil that down into easiness, you know, let's love God full-heartedly and serve him in all that we do, and let's not get carried away with all the other stuff. Simple as that, really. And I mean, there's loads of things I could go into about money, about hobbies, about this, about that. I'll just boil it down to let's not lose where God should be in our lives, isn't it? And where God is in our lives. You know, his love is great. Even when we do go off and, you know, do whatever, God is still with us and for us and loving us. But if we remember and resist the temptation to go off following other things, you know, it makes life easier for ourselves if, you know, God remains as number one, okay? Now then, we've got this lovely little log burner. When it was first put in, I may have mentioned it before, but I'll tell you again. This log burner in our middle room heats up the whole house. We were shown how it was used, because obviously, you know, heat normally is just like switch a button on your central heating, time it, tidy, that's your house warm. But now we got like one of those in one of our middle rooms. We were shown how to light this thing, okay? Paper, kindling, logs and all that, get it going, boiling hot. First time we done it, it was incredible. It was like sweltering, you know, it's like we're not used to this in our house. So I showed the boys, I had these massive leather gloves, brilliant gloves, you know, touch anything, put your hand on the sun, wouldn't burn. All that, really good. Went upstairs, next minute I hear Sammy screaming, "Daddy! Isaac's burnt his hands, he put gloves on." Went downstairs, Isaac had his goalie gloves on. Went like that, on the fire, melted his glove and hurt his hand. Well. Not a big hurt, because obviously hot, and he went like that. But he melted his gloves on the fire. Didn't realise how hot that can be. Now, when we come to a hot fire, there's a warm glow, there's a heat, it looks good, it's comforting. I recommend it to anyone. If you get a chance to sit by a hot, warm fire, it's very relaxing. It settles you down. You see this going on. It's lovely. It's really nice. Get the picture? Settle down. Dark nights, winter. the fire's crackling. What is important to maintain that fire? The fire needs to be stoked. It needs to be fueled. It needs air. It needs logs to avoid it becoming lukewarm. A lukewarm fire is not good, believe you me. It's like a waste of time. It's like, you know, you can't warm up beer. Why do I bother with all that? Keep the fire going. Keep it warm. Keep it stoked. Keep it fueled. If we likened ourselves to this kind of fire, you know, we can provide warmth and comfort to other people. God, of course, is Jesus is the ultimate example of this. Friendship and acceptance. But it's important within us to keep that fire burning. It's important to keep that fire burning. And it says this in the message, okay? The same verse from the message says this. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master. Cheerfully expectant. Great words. If I encourage us today, let's keep fueled and aflame for God. Why? Because it benefits us and it benefits others around us as well. Belonging to the community of God is such a great thing. Okay, those are some lovely points for us. Now, I've got two things to excite you about. All right, first of all, I've got a competition with three prizes here, which I'm going to test you on later. All right, so be energetic. If you need to wake yourself up a little bit, do it now. But secondly, I have a very special friend that I wanted to interview. Okay? Now then, she's been up to a little bit of mischief this morning, I know already, but I won't tell you what she did. Tammy, why don't you come on down the front? Thank you for that. Very good. Good. Hello.
Hi.
Welcome. This isn't going to take too long, okay? All right. It's going to be good. Now then, would you like a microphone? Yeah. How's that sound? Technicality. Now, I'd like to welcome you to my little interview with you, Tammy. Don't look so nervous. You've known me for 100 years.
Yes, I have.
I got you a drink.
Oh, thank
water.
You.
Would you like some?
Yes, please.
Right. Great. Can't open
Don't
that.
Worry.
Here we go. There we are, done. Okay, then. Tammy,
yeah.
I have some questions here,
okay.
Which I've already told you about, so don't pretend you don't know what I'm saying. Tammy,
yes,
what
sir.
Is your name? And where do you come from, and how did you arrive in Swansea? Three questions in one.
Okay, my name is Tammy, and I'm originally from London, Surrey way, and I came to Swansea about 20 years ago. To university.
20 years ago, university. Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's good, Tammy.
Okay.
You answered correctly.
Phew.
What things have happened since being here?
Okay.
In a minute.
So I got my degree, and actually I went away to Leeds and worked with a church there for a year. And I came back to Swansea, and about 16 years ago, I joined Cornerstone. And I used to help out in a little after-school kids club, and then I helped out on a bigger project that we ran the gut. And then I had got married and had two kids. And I used to do some more of the administrative side of things, like some legal stuff and for the church. And I was a trustee. And I guess that's developed over the time. So I do more of that now. Mm-hmm. And been involved in all these building and things like that.
Great. And you are amazing at it as well, by the way. Mm-hmm. So what excites you about serving God, and where do you get your amazing energy to serve God from?
I'd say there's three things. I'd say the first thing is that when I became a Christian, I was 19, and it was like for me, like wearing a pair of purple glasses, that everything looked the same, but everything was totally different in terms of, like, coloured my perspective of everything. So I knew that now that God was with me, I knew him, and I wanted other people to know him. So that kind of... I'd say that underlies everything. It's like the foundation of my of energy, of what energy I have. And then the second thing is, for me, is knowing that I'm in the right place. So, you know, that God's wanting to be in Swansea and at Cornerstone and part of the church, great church family here, which I love, and part of the vision of being my heart is for church to be relevant to society and the church to have an influence for nations and nations. The church, not just our church. But and so that kind of, and being in the right place excites me because I know it's where God wants me to be. So that kind of motivates me, I'd say. And the third thing is knowing what I'm good at and what I'm not good at. So, you know, I've learned that over time. And I think that helps you to give yourself less harder time because you know what your skills are and God's given you different gifts and also developed different gifts. So that's exciting because I wouldn't like to just stay where I am, but I like to be stretched a bit sometimes.
That's good. And if you had one top tip on what works for you, what would that be?
I think when you're sort of in the middle of something or you get, you know, you focus down on whether it's a mundane thing or thing, is just remembering having that bigger perspective of why you're doing it and why you're here. For me, like you're talking earlier, I was thinking, I love going to the beach and looking at the sea, so it reminds me how big God is and the part of the plan I am in, rather than getting so bogged down in small details. Sometimes you have to lift your head and remember what it's all about.
That's brilliant. Okay. Well, thank you, Tammy. That's really good stuff. Thank you. And I wanted to interview Tammy and ask her those questions because she's a truly inspirational person. And if there's anyone who, you know, looking back, I know Tammy now for 20 years, and, you know, we've had fun along the way. We even went for meals in her student house, which is an experience I'll tell you about another time. All right? But yes, thank you, Tammy. That is excellent. Now then, there are other things that I suppose I could go into and, you know, expand and all the rest of it, but I think you've probably heard enough today now. So just in a summary, the little competition, very quickly, I want some enthusiasm here, right? And some energy here, okay? Don't all fold your arms, nodding, smiling, and then not put your hand up, Mike. Come on. Right, here we go. Now then, I've probably forgotten these myself already, but we'll give it a go. Four D's, which? Can you remember the four D's which we were talking about earlier? Discouragement, Sarah, yes, that's good.
Duty.
Duty, yeah, good. Doubt. Doubt, yeah, one more. Any youngsters here with a good memory, Mick? Disappointment, thank you very much. Now then, Sarah, you are the first hand up. Come and grab yourself a prize. Discouragement. Oh, what I forgot to say is every item in here has the Queen's head on. All right? I forgot to mention that. Every item has a Queen's head on. Disappointment. Because that's why I wanted you to be energetic and doubt. What was the other one now? Doubt, duty. Right. Well done. R. What R's can help us get over those difficult times, Matthew? Come on, hands up. Come on. It's the older ones again, yeah. Rob.
Remembering.
That's a good one, Rob. Remember what, Rob? Can you remember? Colin and opposition. What else?
Our relationship
with God. Relationship? No, was that on there?
No, that was my
I can't remember now. That is obviously, that's an all-encompassing one, isn't it? R, resist. Anyone remember that one? Resisting temptation. Right. I think I'm going to give Rob that one.
Yeah.
Number one, Rob, yeah, well done, Rob. Good choice. Right, students, pretend you're in class. Z. Think of the main Z word. Megan, zeal, thank you, well done. Prize, well done. Fair play. Megan, good job. Thank you for getting involved with this bit of fun. Now then, there is a summary sheet there, back. Can you go to the last slide for me, guys? Just in closing, I'm just going to put a little summary up there of what we've been talking about this morning. Okay, they're there, okay? So I'm not going to explain them, because you know all about them already. So why don't we close our eyes and have a little pray? Yes, Lord, thank you so much that in this time of, you know, understanding what it is to have love in action and understanding, you know, how we can relate to one another, and more importantly, you know, that's out of our relationship in knowing you, Lord, and serving you. I pray that you help us just today, Lord, even in our enthusiasm and in our energy, Lord. You know, it's all very well and good to be like over the top and, you know, all the rest of it, Lord, but give us an even sort of key, Lord, where, you know, we're enthusiastic in the right way, that we have a long haul sort of mindset, Lord, that we're not just in things for a sprint, but our lives to be purposeful, you know, for the rest of our lives, Lord, before you. And help us, Lord, in each time, Lord, even when times are tough, that you help us to get through those times, that where there's times where we can remember you, Lord, and remember your love, that you'd help us in those times, Lord, to see, you know, the big picture, just like Tam, you were saying, is to see the big picture of life before you, Lord. So, Lord, help us each day, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.